Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Product Coffee, a podcast where product management leaders share stories, advice, and thoughts on all things product over a cup of coffee. Grab a cup of Joe and join us to level up your product career 30 minutes at a time.
Welcome to Product Coffee, everybody. We've got a myriad of interesting topics to talk about today. And one of the ones that I believe Kevin just brought up is interacting with product marketing and product marketing in general. So Kevin, why don't we just start there? What would you say the role of product marketing is in an organization, and how should our product leaders be thinking about engaging with their product marketing peers?
I had a little flavor of this. I've been a part of companies that had it as a function and then some that did not have it as a function, right? And then how does product marketing tasks, abilities happen within a product org in lieu of that? I probably would want to talk more about the latter, but to touch on the former, super critical. Having a function that is supporting a go-to-market to your product, especially if it's like an enterprise product or you have like a go-to-market motion that's sales driven, then having that core function is super critical for the success. And it also causes for less friction between departments. So I think it's super critical there. Now, where I'm talking about it as more of a skill in a team in lieu of having a product marketing team, I wanted to share an approach and get your all's opinion on it. One of the issues that we saw bubbling up was this friction between the departments. Like, we have a go-to-market motion that is sales. There are some freemium product-led motions, but there's a lot of opinions and important people trying to bring your product to market. That's their job and their role. There was a lot of frustration in between, like, oh, well, we're selling stuff that we don't have, or we're promising things that we thought the product did that it doesn't, and now we're on the hook, or this product's buggy as we're rolling things out, and it's just making us look bad. We're losing clients. And so we said, we don't have the function. We acknowledge the use of it and the need for it. Let's create a product marketing go-to-market working group. And it consists of everyone that is key and critical to bringing a product to market, including your CS, your solutions, your operations, your marketing, sales as well. And let's talk about which products are, we use the analogy of launch pad, which ones were on a launch pad, ready to launch, and then who has what they need. You have what you need, check, check, check. Yes, I do. This person, check, check, check. What happens in this scenario or documentation for the product? Oh, we're not ready. And the whole purpose of this working group was that we put all of the cross-functional leaders, put their keys in at the same time and turn it at the same time. So we all feel ownership over the success product. And so that was the intention behind getting together this working group. It's kind of how we're approaching it.
Question. I think it's super interesting. And I think in lieu of having the function, I think it could definitely be very effective. How do decisions get made? Do you, the whole kind of turnkey, everyone turns the key at the same time to, you know, launch nuclear weapons. Are all decisions, do they require consensus?
No, I don't think so. But what I'm seeing is that there's the misalignment almost. Like, there's a miscommunication, misalignment that would benefit from this joint ownership over the success of these things. And so the purpose of bringing them all into the mix is that, do they have what they need is what is consensus. More of like, it's a check. It's not, hey, we all have to be aligned to launch a product, but are you prepared, right? Do you have what you need? And are we supporting you? And are you supporting us effectively? And is everyone supporting each other? Are we all ready?
Yeah.
Cool. And so that was kind of the intention. But
who leads the group?
Me, at this point, because we didn't have it. Since we don't have it, we had this idea, and if not me, I don't know who else. So,
yeah. First off, I completely sympathize with the problem, in particular, having seen it at a few different companies where you are responsible for direct selling a product. And it's not like, you know, a social platform or something else where you get a bunch of users and then you figure out how to monetize them and kind of drive inside. Like, products that fundamentally drive on sales, I think, have to have way more coordination than some other ones do. Now, that being said, I wonder, seeing how this fits into the role of a product manager is kind of the interesting question. It's like saying, do we expect the product managers to be able to handle launches of products and be able to do that as part of their roles and responsibilities? Or are we expecting some other business person to bring all those separate pieces together? And I think that's kind of the real fundamental core piece. I, on one hand, believe that people who become higher in their careers in product management should be able to handle the launch of a product and speak to their cross-functional stakeholders in a way that is coordinated and targeted and that it's part of their role. That being said, I think there's been a lot of really lax standards sometimes in the industry around developing the go-to-market skill for product managers, because a lot of organizations have created these other roles that lets us push the responsibility out for it. You know, it's kind of like project management in a way, right? Like a PM and a product manager, in my opinion, should have some product management skill or project management skills. But if they never have to do it because you have a project management team that does everything, then they're never going to build the skill.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Kevin, do you have a project management function or a program management function?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that case, I agree with Lou. Like, I do think it's ultimately the product management function that owns mm-hmm. it. Because I think if we think about product management's core responsibility, like if you had to sum up the job description, is deliver products that deliver value, right? And a big part of delivering products is getting them to market. So yeah, like in lieu of, like, you can build this amazing thing, but if you can't get it out the door, then oh shucks, you've failed at your core mission as a product manager.
Absolutely, right? And I think, especially with small startups, again, that function, if it doesn't exist, your product assumes, right? It's kind of the moldable glue that brings together this thing as needed, right? You don't have design. You're a designer now. Hey, surprise. Yeah. You don't have an analyst? Get ready. You're an analyst now.
Yeah. So I think that happened. Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. Right. Yeah. So we have to kind of like flex into these things. I guess it wasn't more of a question of responsibility or duty. Because I agree. I think the duty is there and the responsibility is appropriate. Yeah. The approach of doing this is what I really wanted to, maybe from another listening product manager that hasn't built that skill internally, to maybe they've always had that product marketing function. What are kind of the core mm-hmm. things that you should consider when bringing your product to market, and in particular, getting shit out the door and verifying and testing, right? That's aside. I'm talking about launching big PR release. You know, I have a Figma config conference that I'm going to brag about this new, you know, I'm talking about those kind of motions versus like the small iterative things that we do on the day to day. So what are the core skills or things that you should consider?
Two things that I think are core to the success here. And that is, one, telling the story of why. Why should an end user adopt a new feature or product? And so to be able to do that, having a deep, deep understanding of what the product is, what kind of pain points it solves, and who it's for. And then the second big bucket is telling the story of how. So to parse those things out, I think, first you need to identify the who. Let's just go to three things. Who's going to be using your product? Why should they be using your product? And how can they learn how to use it in a really intuitive way? Easy way, a way that fits into their workflow. Now, product marketers out there are going to say, there's way more to it than that. But I think those are three key pillars to a successful product marketing function within a go-to-market context.
Just to recap this, nailing that narrative, right? Nailing the story, the who, the why, the how. So what customer segments, what's our value prop? How can you realize that value?
There's an interesting question in here, which is, is this a proactive or a reactive scenario? And what I mean by that is, theoretically, right, when you're designing a product, when you're creating it from the get-go, you should have that customer and market. You should kind of know those things, right? I think the challenge that some people will get into, or sometimes we get into, is we've developed the thing, but we didn't think through all of those steps at the beginning of the process before developing. And now we're getting ready to market and we're starting to ask ourselves those questions. Right. So I think it's kind of, you know, part of the process, right?
Like, yeah, maybe we can deconstruct that a bit, because I think there's like, you spend a lot of time in planning and realizing like, here's what we're building, who we're building for, what have you. We go and experiment, right? And this is part of that co-creation process, or this kind of, you know, agile kind of lean startup process where you're kind of learning, right? You're building something. Does it resonate? Is it the right thing? Is it the right customer? Does it actually resonate with something else or a subsegment of that segment? So like, I feel like you're crafting, you might have an opinion day one on what that should be. And then during that journey of product discovery through solution discovery,
yep,
you're crafting that net new or that refined maybe version of that narrative. So I think it's a process that you eventually get to a more clear sense of what that should be, right?
I think that's correct. And I think that's what I was trying to get to, is that by the time you're ready to do big PR pushes and you're ready to do all of that stuff, right? Theoretically, all of those other pieces have started to fall in line, right? You've understood your audience. Yeah. You've tested it. You've beta the program. You understand the requirements. You know what the value proposition is. And then the actual launch date itself should be nothing more than a coordination activity, bringing together the fruition of all of the data you've collected through the process, right? But if you're looking at your launch date and you're like, whoa, we're still figuring this out. Like, I worked with a company that was like still trying to figure out who their target audience was when they're getting ready to roll out like new features. And you're just like, whoa. Let's pump the brakes here before we just go and PR release something to a group of people and like talk about features and stuff. Like, did we not think about that? Like through the whole construction.
Yeah, I agree. This is where product management and product marketing overlap a lot. I think the who and the why are two core functions of both of those roles. So if an organization has a product marketing function, my thought on that is the product marketers should be in the conversation very early. So they are part of that message crafting. They're part of that conversation about the who and the why. So they can start to tell the story of the product. I think where the two roles start to diverge a little bit and where product marketers are really, really effective is helping product development teams figure out the how. And by the how in this context, I mean, how is that target user going to be introduced and attain that value quickly? So PR is part of it, right? Like that's just a part of it though. Like this is also in-app experiences. How do you introduce a new form of value to a consumer, a user within the existing experience? Is this some kind of tooltip? Is this some kind of notification? Is this some kind of, hey, look at this over here, try it out? Is this some kind of, hey, flip this switch to try this new version? Like those are all, in my opinion, product marketing tactics. And that's where a product marketer can come in and say, all right, we know the who, we know what the value is. How do we introduce them and get them to experience that value as fast and as painlessly as possible?
Well, love that.
Yeah. I think that's definitely, I agree with that 100%. I think in lieu of that, in Kevin's type scenario, right, where if you don't have that, I think one of the questions I always kind of feel like I'm asking myself, and this is maybe the entrepreneur side leaking out, is like, cool, so you have this idea, right? Like one of the first things I think about when I have a new idea is how do I market it? You know, even for like a small business that I run on the side up here, like my side hustle, the first thing that I ask myself is like, cool, so let's say I go and bought all the equipment to do this thing and to start this business and built this product or this service. How am I going to market it? And is it going to be Facebook advertising? Is it going to be like, you know, grassroots guerrilla style? Like it's a question that I feel like I naturally ask, like with any new product, is like, how do we get it to market? And I think that's maybe one of those areas that PMs can start with, is like, okay, let's say you do have a product marketing function or you don't, doesn't matter. Somebody asks you to build a new feature, a new product for your company. One of the first questions you should ask is not, okay, what are all the shiny objects that I do? And it's like, assume this thing exists. How do I tell people about it? And do we have a way to tell people about it? And then that's another problem that your business needs to solve, because if you don't have a way to tell people about it, maybe it's money. Maybe you just straight need $500,000 to go splurge on some online advertising. I don't know. But if the business doesn't have it, that's almost as important a question to building a product as what shiny features do we give it.
So let's talk about more of the established organizations, existing customer bases, and our teams bringing new products to market. You know, Jake, I don't know if Ibotta still has the product marketing function, but they did when I was there. Lou, I'm sure Xero does, but I don't actually know. Okay, I'm getting some head nods. Great. So what does that handoff look like today? It sounds like there is some, there. Maybe it's not a clean handoff, right? There's this co-collaboration across the journey. But when we're like, you know, this, hey, I'm done. We shipped the product. We code complete. We did it.
Yeah.
It's not ready, right? Like it's not ready for market, no. Right? And so what does that transition look like? What does your team do with that other team? And how do you collectively bring that thing to market?
Yeah, it is. It's a blend over time. And I think in the context, like we're going through this right now, we're in the process of bringing some new things to market, which is really exciting in a more B2B sense than B2C sense or D2C sense. And the go-to-market strategy and timeline has been co-crafted by the product management and product people playing the product marketing functions. And that has involved internal rollouts. And how do we go about exposing this product and introducing this product to end users, to ultimately the people who will be consuming this product? And that, the kind of the balance of who's doing what, sure, earlier on in the process, it's a lot of the product manager figuring out the who, the why, how are we delivering value? What does that value look like? How do we test it? How do we evaluate it? How do we pilot it? But once we start getting into that world where we think we have an MVP, we think we have something that delivers value, and we start introducing that in a very controlled test environment called a pilot program to a particular group of early adopting users, that's when, in our experience over the last couple of months, the product marketing function has really spun up. Okay, how is this message, how is this value landing with this particular end user? How do we need to tweak it? How do we tweak the message? How do we introduce this to even more people? Maybe people who look a little bit different than this person. And that's when they start to get involved and start crafting that broader plan of how we introduce this value to this broader audience.
Yeah, I think there's a nested question in there. And Jake, you were touching on it pretty well, which is just like, what does go-to-market look like? And what steps does a product manager take along the way? And I think nested in there is, you know, I think dispelling the myth that the big like flip the on switch is the actual thing that happens, and going in there and being like, no, you need to do those test points, that evaluation, the, you know, hey, I've got a new product. Who are the first 500 people that try it? What if they say that it's crap? What do we do? What if they say they like it? What if they use it? What are the broken things? How do we fix that? And then that whole process of actually like doing the public launch being very, very downstream of all of those pieces. And I think the product management role, if you have product marketing people, their best thing to do with you is help get your product in front of the audience that you're targeting so that you can collect the data that you need to inform whether or not the product is worth advancing down the line of eventually flip the big switch and it goes live.
Yeah, I think I would challenge that a little bit to say that it's not just putting it in front of them. It's also putting it in front of them in a way that gets them to engage with it.
Yes.
Right. Because you could just put a banner ad up. Let's say you have banner ads within your product or whatever the case may be. You have a B2B dashboard. You're like, oh, cool, new thing. Like, how do you facilitate that interaction with that product, with that value? That's where I see the main difference between, say, a product marketer and a marketer. Right, where a marketer is about generating awareness. Product marketing, I think, is a little bit more nuanced, and it includes and involves connecting that person tangibly to that value.
So
as opposed to the value prop.
And what you're describing, what you have described in the sequence here, I want to make sure that we kind of picture this as a visual from this left to right timeline. Product managers crafting the narrative story, the why, the how, the who, the why, the value prop, the how. As we start to, the thing that you said is we think we have value. So you're iterating, you're building, you found this nugget. Then you introduce this early paid access kind of period of time where you're co-creating, you're previewing this thing with some users that are pulling you along, like that are hungry for this, that are eager, that are wanting to it. you're then crafting the next step during that motion, right? And then what is that next step, right? So after this, now what? After crafting that next step.
Then I think it's actually just the management of the execution. That's the fundamental piece. If you've gotten all of that stuff together, I think Jake and I were kind of saying the same thing. I was looking at it from a, how do we collect the data that informs us? And that requires, you know, getting people to engage with it. But assuming that we've done all that and assuming we're ready, then it's the execution mode, right? Then it's, okay, sales team needs to start pitching this on this day.
Well, see, I don't know. I don't know. Here's what my proposal is. I think there's more things that we can deconstruct that execution to be more tangible for folks. So I think there's, after this, the correct step from early paid access, you start to want to open the door, right? But if you go to market too quickly without validating that you have that fit at scale, and then also there's scalability issues that you have to incur as you incur, you're going to realize, right? So you want to do that mindfully, right? So there's this step, like these stairs that you kind of have to climb to get to that hallelujah generally available motion, right?
Yeah, I'll give kind of somewhat of a practical example. This is something that I'm working on right now, and it's not related to, obviously, to Xero, because I work in platform technology there, and I'm about as far as from product marketing as you could be at that organization. So I would, but, you know, one of the small businesses that I started and has been growing for me is doing a hot tub service business. And over the past quarter, started experimenting with hiring people, right? And in the early days, it was, yeah, hey, we're going to launch this thing. We're going to take on a handful of clients and we're going to experiment. We're going to see what we need to do. Then we're going to take on some more clients. Then we're going to hire some people to then take on some more. And then we're going to redo our technology on the back end to make sure we can support those people. And we can start thinking about how we do next scale, next scale, next scale. And one of the products that we're going to launch eventually here is a online training program. And the online training program is being built based on in-person trainings first, followed by, you know, building out the class, followed by limited releases, followed by scaled release, followed by paid marketing. And that whole escalation of things, you know, obviously I'm in the one-man show business, obviously, for the moment. We'll probably hire some more people in that capacity if it starts growing. But the whole process there is just about taking steps and establishing risk and establishing, you know, knowing the challenges along with. Maybe that's the product portion that we're, you know, not talking about, is how do you manage risk? You know, do you go out and just blow $2 million on Facebook ads and hope that it all comes back all right? Or do you take a graduated approach where you're learning? And I think that's the main piece, that there, and that's probably the rumor to dispel, there isn't a big moment of turning the on switch. It's always graduated. Hell, even at Ibotta, anywhere else, we were always taking Facebook marketing campaigns and trying them out and see what fit and see what messaging hit. And if that messaging landed, then we'd start scaling them up. And then the moment that messaging reached saturation, they would turn off those ads, right? And they would start it all afresh. And I think that's the whole piece of that, the living, breathing thing. And you're always experimenting, you're always driving. There isn't really a, you know, an end moment.
In the product life cycle, you're right. But I also want to make sense of the art of this all.
it is an art.
I refuse. No, it's a science. No, I think there is, yeah, right. There's this kind of both, and it ebbs and flows. And I think that actually, like, yourself or others in your situation that have done this exhaustively in your career, it can be more artistic. And I think, but I love the step function of clear, achievable questions maybe to answer, or steps to take to think through as you're learning to go through this the first time. And one of the things to continue on this journey of, we think we introduce early paid access where we're co-creating, we craft, right? We're crafting the next step. The next step to me is that you start to introduce this to those channels that you want to prototype. So it's either, you know, if the website or what have you is, you know, for example, Ibotta had the app. So maybe there's a, hey, sign up for, you know, a new button that you can try a new feature, right? You target that to specific users. It's still curated, but it's like, it's still kind of an alpha, right? It's like, hey, you know, we want to hear from you. You know, this is a specific thing. So it's more personalized. You're still rolling things out. So it's that curated kind of alpha scaled rollout. And then you continue to roll these out all throughout the mix here through the product marketing and go to market. You're crafting the scalability, the new feature sets that bring this product market, you know, a little bit stronger and meatier to market, right? And then you hit this kind of threshold where you start to move into like a beta, which is a little bit more like scaled growth, right? When you're just focusing out on scale, but it's not like fully available to everybody. It's like slowly like a percentage based rollout maybe or something like this. And then you kind of uncover this GA or you get fully prepared. And I think, you know, maybe not all products go through this motion, but I think the ones that we're talking about in here might need or could get value out of that as a motion. And then the last piece there was, and I'm missing my thought, but basically after crafting this full step, you know, talking about what do you do next as well? And how do you kind of measure that you've succeeded in terms of getting through these? If you think of those as measurable milestones of your product life cycle.
The only thing that I would push back on there is we shouldn't make it more complicated than it actually is. I know we've talked through, we can break down a product launch into 50 million steps or different phases, but ultimately the end of the day, right, people got to get out there and do it. And if you don't have that product marketing function, if you don't have that, then the best way to learn is by trial and error.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like you've got your product. Okay. Going to get it out there. I think that's the thing is that I wouldn't want people to take away with the message, like we have to have this 50 step checklist that we're going to go through to market. Cause sometimes the best thing you can do is just be like, hey, I'm going to throw it out there and I'm just going to try this thing and see what happens. And nobody engages with your Facebook ad, then you can figure something else out. Right. Or like, you know, oh, I didn't do that right. Or did it wrong. Or, you know, maybe we went too big too quickly and then that blew things up as well. But, you know, I think that's the piece too, is like, it's like, there's a lot of steps that you can take, but I also would encourage people to not overcomplicate it.
I love that. I think if the steps help you make sense of it, maybe then great. Now that is in the back of your mind to then be a little bit more artistic and free flowing there. I think when it becomes barrier of, you know, growth or like execution or getting things up fast, maybe you're overthinking it. So that might be the, yeah. Interesting. Well, this conversation went in a lot of different directions, but I love it. What kind of homework can we give to our listeners this week?
I would offer, if you're taking a product or you're taking a feature or if you're launching anything to market, do you have a clear understanding and shared understanding of who should be consuming or who are you thinking will find value in this product? What is that value? How are you introducing that value to them in a way that they will experience it quickly, easily? And how will you know what they think of it so you can iterate from there? So four questions to ask yourself.
I will go and say that as part of becoming a well-rounded product manager, having a thorough understanding of product marketing could be a skill that you add into your arsenal, you know, just like in the same way that you would add a knowledge of finance, business development, Jira, you know, Jira skills, doesn't matter. That's just another tool to add into your tool belt. And if you're a PM and you feel like I don't have that skill right now, I would suggest that you start talking with marketers at your company, or if you have product marketing, talk with them and get a thorough understanding of that role and then start thinking about how you would approach things from their perspective and just teach that as a thought exercise. And you do that enough times and eventually you have that skill.
Yeah. Learn through doing. One of the, maybe another tactical thing that you could put in place this week, we've had her on the show, but Martina Lachenko, great book about product marketing for product managers too. I think there's a lot of good kind of how that operates, how you should think through building products that people love. And she has a lot of good education in that. So yeah, it's, we have a lot of interesting, fun things coming up. We have a new website redesign that is coming soon. So we'll share some of that. We do have a return guest that is going to be coming up soon that I'm very excited about. That was pretty fun to have. being very ambiguous, but more to come. And maybe some live events too. So we'll let y'all know as we do. So looks like we finished up our coffee. So go level up.
This has been Product Coffee, produced and engineered by me, Kevin Gentry. Through our podcast partner, Anchor, you can now record a voice message and send us ideas or topics to cover, and who knows, we might end up playing it on the show. You can also become a supporter of Product Coffee by contributing a monthly donation to help us sustain future episodes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Product Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.